The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome or welcome back, as the case may be. Great to have you here. Man, we've only got a couple of weekends more before the election, and we're trying to figure out what to do with this caravan. And I know there's a human drama there, and I care about that. But what I care most about is my country. These folks cannot be allowed in. And I have a feeling the left is thinking this is going to be great. This is going to be great. There are going to be 4,000 people knocking on the door of America, and Trump's not going to let them in. And they think that's great for their side. Let's examine. We have a number of things to examine. Phone lines are open at 866-660-5759. But there's one thing I want to examine really quickly. Probably not a lot of debate or pushback on that. Just say it. It's true. Get it done. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
Hey, speaking of Tampa, out of Tampa Town, the Outlaws. Three guesses on the title. Love at First Sight from the Outlaws, Playing to Win, 1980. Henry Paul and the Boys. I love me some Outlaws. Maybe the loudest concert I've ever been to. And I've seen everybody. You can't even see Nugent and Sabbath and all, you know, back in the day. I've seen both those acts in the last 10 years. But boy, just, I don't know. I think it was like 80, 81. It was not long after, because if you've ever got like 27 minutes, go get the full album side of the Outlaws doing Green Grass and High Tide Forever. Like, you know, Huey Thomason on the guitar and Henry Paul. Oh, my God. It's tremendous. And saw the Outlaws. No, it was in Jacksonville because they toured Florida a lot. They were in Florida, loved living in Florida. And probably 1983 or something like that. And I think the ringing in my ears went away, I think, last week. I think so. So anyway, so some Outlaws to begin our, the numbers are, it's my fourth hour of radio because I did Hewitt this morning, but it's our, it's the 8 o'clock hour. Just call it what it is and move on. 866-660-5759. I tell you what, it's our next to last hour for the week. So we got this hour and next. So what will we make of it? I'm going straight to calls. Folks have been hanging out and calling us and saying things, or they have yet to say things they're about to. And then I'll dive into some audio and stuff going on today, and what to look forward to for the weekend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Red Sox are going to the World Series. It's funny. I still don't look at the Astros as a rival. I know they are. Maybe it's because the Rangers are terrible. But and I usually don't want rivals of teams I root for, even if they're in Texas, to do well. Like if the Mavericks are dreadful, like again, which they may be, does that mean that I then start to root for the Spurs or the Rockets in the playoffs? No, I don't. Because I spend all year rooting against them. I don't know, but I just enjoyed the Astros World Series last year. I just did. The town loved it. The state seemed to love it. And they just went down in five games to the Red Sox. You know why? Because the Red Sox are the best team in baseball, which is fine, I guess. If we have Red Sox Dodgers, Dodgers are up 3-2, and I think that series could end tonight versus Milwaukee. So my only remaining thing here is probably to root for the Milwaukee Brewers, the Brew Crew, because that's a long-suffering town, at least in baseball. And so that'd be kind of cool. Red Sox Brewers, that'd be fun. But the networks want Red Sox Dodgers, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, it's cool. Postseason baseball is cool. 866-660-5759. And obviously the hallmark of this weekend is Cowboys-Redskins, which... a game that hasn't meant a lot in the last 20 years because it's been hard to find, heck, the last 30, because it's been hard to find a time when both teams were good. When the Cowboys were winning Super Bowls, the Redskins sucked. And the Redskins have not been very good, hardly at all. Of course, neither have we. So now this one is for the if watch at noon. Watch Philadelphia and Carolina. Watch the Eagles and the Panthers. Cam Newton, Carson Wentz. That'll, first of all, just great game. And if Carolina wins, which they might because the Eagles have been kind of spotty and the Panthers are angry because they lost to the Redskins last week, which gave the Redskins the division lead, which is weird. So if Carolina wins, then Dallas and Washington is for the outright division lead. Can you believe that? It's a weird division. Somebody's going to win this division at 8-8 or 9-7 or something like that. So, hey, might as well be us. Here's the dirty little secret. Very seriously, I know I feel this way. Maybe you do, too. It depends on, I mean, how much of a curmudgeon do you want to be? Man, that flag nonsense. I'll never watch a game again. And look, I was, listen, if the nonsense continued, I was totally ready to do that. We won. We won. The flag nonsense has been squelched. It is a non-issue. And you know what the other dirty little secret is? My gosh, there are some great games. I mean, Packers 49ers last Monday night, Patriots Chiefs, Cowboys are blowing people out, at least, you know, one week at a time. It's fun. It's fun again. It's fun. I have allowed the NFL back in my life because the kneeling nonsense has stopped and the good guys won. 866-660-5759. All right, multi-topic Friday. It's the kind of thing I love. Let's go to Dallas. Wayne, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Hey. So tell me, what is going to be the rules of engagement for the U.S. military down at the border? And before you answer... let me remind you of what happened when the Arabs of Gaza stormed the fence against the Israeli army.
You want to know the real answer to that question? It's a very good question. What will the U.S. military do at the border? The simple answer is be there. You mentioned rules of engagement, which is important. I don't know if there'll even be any engaging. It's a funny thing that happens when we really send a lot of people to the border. We have Border Patrol, we have ICE, we have this, we have that. But when we sent the National Guard to the border, when Governor Perry did that, they notice, they pay attention. And the funniest thing happens when we really man up at the border and that people think twice about it. They turn around and go home.
That's when small groups, now you've got a small army. What happens when 4,000 of these people cross the Rio Grande together?
That's probably not easy to do. Most of the, especially when you're in as, if it's 4,000 people, at least 100 of them are camera crews. And I think it'll probably be pretty easy to know where they are. Their ability to slip through undetected is probably not a great likelihood. And the sad fact is also that most folks who get in with our complicity, catch and release, and there's been a huge uptick in illegal immigration ever since President Trump very unwisely stopped the family separation policy. If people think that they're going to lose their kids, maybe they don't come into America quite so willingly. What do you think ought to happen?
I don't know. I'm just dreading what happens when a few bad apples who are mixed in with that crowd start firing on our troops.
Armed troublemakers in the caravan take aim at an American in a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not going to be good. If that does happen, that'll be a dead immigrant. And I'll be fine with that.
If they use the Arab tactic of, mingling within the kids, surround themselves with kids.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get to that point. I certainly hope we don't, but you've asked daunting questions that deserve attention. Yeah, I don't want anybody killed. Are you kidding me? I don't want any my prime wish is for the caravan to read a paper and or fire up one of their plentiful iPhones, I'm sure. And if they can get a, cell signal on the way to Juarez and go, uh-oh, red alert, they're waiting for us. Maybe we need to, if Honduras was so terrible, life got better for us as soon as we set foot in Mexico. Maybe we'll just stay here. And that makes it, a Mexican problem. How about that? 866-660-5759. We are in Arlington. Steve, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, this is a flashback, Mark.
Yes.
It hasn't been quite a week, but a lady called in about the concept of the Electoral College and asked when did that get handled and how often does it happen? And so I went ahead and looked it all up.
Well, okay, first of all, you might need to help me out. Because first of all, I don't think that was this show. I mean, it's one of my favorite topics. Talk about it all
the time.
Okay,
Rhonda remembers it too.
Okay. Maybe she was hosting. But what was the issue? And then tell me what your thought is. What was the question?
Well, she wondered when Texas was going to get more votes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Day, it's Friday. And I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Good morning, everybody. I remember now the question was, right now Texas has 38 electoral votes, because that's how many total members of Congress in the Senate we have. California has 54. Is it possible those would go up or down based on changes in state population and thus changes in congressional representation? Go.
The answer is Congress does reapportionment every 10 years immediately following the census. It usually takes another year. It takes less time now that we have more digital control of that.
Right.
And then they announce what the new numbers will be for the next election, and that's it. Then the states have to redraw their maps and the whole thing. But it's every 10 years following the census, and mm-hmm. usually takes about a year to implement.
All right, so the next census will be in the year 2020. And so you figure they might roll out with some fresh changes in 2021 that would take effect in the elections of 2022.
Exactly.
All righty. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, there are benefits to your state getting bigger, and that is you get more members of Congress, and that means you get more electoral votes. And I'll tell you, just looking ahead to 2020, the value of Texas, if Texas, well, looking ahead to 2018, don't have to look forward 2 weeks. Let's look forward a couple of days to early voting and then the election that lies ahead on November 6th. If Texas is allowed to turn blue, if the political tapestry of Texas turns purple and then turns blue, and I do not see that happening in the short term, if ever, but you got to keep your eyes wide open and your armor fastened up tight for battle. If that ever happens, you will never see a Republican president again. And I never say never, but until that is somehow undone. Because Texas is the only repository for a big burst of Republican electoral votes. Obviously, there are enough Republicans, enough conservative voters, to get George W. elected twice, Reagan elected twice, Trump elected, going to be twice, get Trump elected at all. But it was a compendium of people, and not just from really reliable Republican states like your Alabama, your Utah, your Mississippi, your Georgia, your Southeast and Mountain West. But it was also some states that Republicans have not typically won. Some Pennsylvania, some Ohio, some Michigan, some Wisconsin. And you can't always count on those, but you can always count on Texas. You take away, if the electoral votes of Texas are no longer available reliably to a Republican candidate, you may not see a Republican president ever until and unless that changes. So I've got a really good idea. Keep Texas red. And that and this is these are marching orders. You ready? Yes, I'm the guy sitting here telling you Ted Cruz beats Beto and it will not be that close. And yes, I'm the guy telling you that Pete Sessions beats Colin Allred and it will not be that close. But that's me talking on Friday, October 19th. On October 22nd, when early voting starts, you get out there and you take 47 people with you and you all early vote or vote on Election Day or whatever you need to do, whatever the law provides. You get out here, you vote, and you get somebody else to vote. You take somebody else to vote and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And you vote straight ticket. Last opportunity to do that. Democrats do it, so we need to, too. I don't know every single person in the constable's race. Shut up. And I say that with all love. Because the Republican you don't know is better than the Democrat you do. Straight ticket Republican. Everybody, starting Monday, do it. It is statement delivery time. And that statement is Texas is a red state, and we are not going back. We've had blissful one-party rule for about a generation, and we are not going back. No retreat, no surrender. Let's deliver for Ted Cruz in the state, for the United States Senate, and for Pete Sessions in 32, the decisive win that will send Texas, Democrats back to the drawing board with the full knowledge and the full evidence that Texas is a deep red state. So I can sit here and predict stuff all day long. And that and $8 gets you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But you guys voting, that's what makes it happen. Do not disappoint me. 823, Mark Davis, 866-660-5759. It is Friday, and we're very glad you're here. So the Doobie Brothers album, The Captain and Me, contains Long Train Runnin' and China Grove. But also this, South City Midnight Lady, and the great vocal by Patrick Simmons. Up all night I could not sleep. This guy does the vocal on Blackwater. The whiskey that I drank was cheap. Pat Simmons is 70 years old today. Shaking hands, I went and I lit up my last cigarette. So if you're doing some downloads today, well, the sun came the night it fled. Go get the Doobie Brothers, The Captain and Me. Whole album's great. I reached my bed. I saw you sleepy dreaming there, all covered in warmth. Ready? 866-660-5759.
South City Midnight Lady, I'm much obliged indeed. You sure have saved this man, his soul was in need.
That's just good, man. All 5.5 minutes of South City Midnight Lady. The great Pat Simmons, the Doobie Brothers, 70 years old today. All right, 866-660-5759. To the phones. Let's see what's going on there. We are in Dallas. Darren, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good. About the people coming up from the South.
Yes.
I think they're scared of our election fix now. Have the House turn more Republican. And they're scared the border's going to get locked up on them.
So
I also think that Trump has found the back door to the wall. He has to send the Marines down to the border. Why not he send a couple of units of the CBs?
We build, we fight.
The Marines. That's right.
The greatness of the CBs. Okay, couple of things. Number one, is there a flow of immigration northward out of fear that they better get in now while the getting's good because America's about to elect more Republicans and the border is going to tighten up even more? Maybe. You know, and thanks, Darren. In a crowd of 4,000, you know, how many of them might have that mindset? Some of them might. Here's the tricky thing is it's the number of Republicans in Congress. That is an important thing, a very important thing. But the mood of the president is what matters most. And I think I've made clear every day that I love the president, big fan of the president, right? When a judge put the hammer down on family separation, I think that's something that President Trump should have flat out thumbed his nose at and refused to obey. Because it's not the notion that some, tin horn judge in one American city can establish American policy That's for the birds. I've got a big brain full of Tom Giovanetti right now because my buddy over at the Institute for Policy Innovation has given me such clarity on the myth of judicial supremacy. And that myth goes like this. Congress, you know, Congress makes laws. President signs them. President has an agenda that he has to run through Congress. And they all do what they do in the executive and legislative branches. But then the judiciary swoops down like mighty oracles and determines once and for all, with a wave of its mighty robed hand, what we can and cannot do. That is for the birds. And I asked Tom, I said, okay, what kind of chaos ensues when either Congress or the president looks at the judiciary and says, eh, guys, thanks a lot, but we disagree. We're going to go do what we're going to do anyway. Well, and that's kind of funny because just like a flowchart, and I love flowcharts, it starts like this. Supreme Court issues a ruling, or some United States District Court issues a ruling. President disagrees with it. Okay, you're going to ignore it or comply with it? If he says ignore it, all right, he ignores it. Policy stays the same. Then what? Does the court have some police force that comes and gives him noogies all day and, you know, spanks him? Nope. The solution is political. Then we will have had a president who will have willfully differed. I don't want to say disobeyed because that suggests that these rulings must be obeyed. We'll have a president who willfully thwarts a court ruling. Guess who settles it? We do. You and I do. Because let's say there was some court ruling that we liked that somehow restrained the nefarious Obama regime. And he said, well, guess what? Forget it. I'm doing what I want to do. I think even Tom would say he had a right to do it. That's the anti-judicial supremacy mindset. Is that Congresses and presidents who disagree with judicial rulings may ignore them. So here's the real consistency test. So in this particular case of family separation, president should have said, guess what? We have laws. I'm going to obey them. You guys can either like that or not like that. And as a result, my voters can either like or not like me, and they can unelect me in 2020. Bam, problem solved. If there are enough people, you know, who have their shorts in a wad that the president has ignored a court ruling. It's a white knuckle ride. But you know what we're left with as an alternative is the notion of you talk about judicial tyranny. Our usual definition of judicial tyranny is judges and justices who make stuff up and issue rulings based on their own political and social whims rather than the Constitution and rule of law. And that is rampant. It's epidemic. But another type of judicial tyranny is to say that, listen, whatever we rule, that's it. We're the last word, final word. We're the big dogs. We're the alpha males in this triad of American governance with a judicial, an executive, and a legislative branch. They're supposed to be equal. I will never say co-equal. There's no such word as co-equal. Equal is fine. They're equal. Equal, meaning the same. All righty. Now, I feel better. 844-866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Ike, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Fantastic.
I think one of the things that we need to start doing is just really just changing the narrative of this thing. You know, mm-hmm. We're a nation of laws. We're not a nation of emotions. Mm-hmm. And we need to start putting this back on these liberals and asking them, I don't want to hear what you feel and what you believe. I want to hear what you want to do to change the situation on the board. You know, I need some policy set, you know.
I think that's genius. I think that's total genius because the honest Democrat will then reveal to you that what he wants is essentially open borders.
Exactly. You know, and if this is such a humanitarian crisis, we should be sending these people everywhere over the globe, like we did with other refugees from other countries.
Yeah. Or well, I'll tell you what, if somebody's life is such a roiling hell in Honduras, you know, the moment it gets better, the minute they cross over into Mexico, prosperity and security in Mexico are improving by the year. So, hey, guess what? We're in Mexico. Awesome. Let's just stay here.
Exactly. You know, and I think that it's important that we do that because, you know, the majority of the populace or the liberal populace are just uneducated in the laws that we have and the history of this country.
Yeah, it's funny. Is it an education thing or an attitudinal thing? Because I think a lot of folks may, I mean, here's a scary sentence in the English language. Ready? Barack Obama taught constitutional law. So he did. He didn't lack IQ points. He didn't lack book smarts. He simply had the view that the Constitution was like a lump of clay to be molded in the hands of whoever has power. God bless. Thank you, man. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you. 846-866-660-5759. We are in Keller. And Steve, hi. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Mark.
Hey.
Great show.
Thank you.
You need to have yourself a radio show. I'm telling you.
I keep thinking that. People say that.
Promise us you will get yourself a show.
I'm working on it. This hobby of mine, it may branch out at some point. Thanks.
You have a lot of influence. You have a lot of listeners out there, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak to you and speak to them. Mm-hmm. We have got, sir, to do something in this country about voter fraud. If we have to go to California and disqualify their vote legislatively through Congress, whatever, we have got to come together as a nation to understand that we have got a voter fraud problem in this country, especially now when we've got millions of people coming into this country that are illegal and cannot vote or shouldn't be voting. What can we do? I know it's a states' rights issue and that every state has their own ability, has their own way of making the decisions for their constituents for what how they're going to vote. But nationally, we've got to come together and have some kind of way of controlling this because it's going to eventually turn Texas blue if we don't, and it's going to turn a lot of states blue because of the cheating on the voting. What can we do nationally to control and get rid and control this voter fraud that we're having?
Well, the first thing, this may be one of the most important calls I take today or any day, because all this talk that we have of blue waves and red beachheads and who's got the upper hand and, you know, what policies work the best are presuming that votes are being cast honestly and legally and within the law. And it's funny because a whole lot of people will get their dander up about the Russians meddling with elections and even make up stuff that they did not do. But these are people who are thoroughly unconcerned about the meddling with elections that happens every time a dead person votes or an illegal immigrant votes or somebody who's unregistered votes. So if you're serious about voting, about voter integrity, then be serious about election integrity. Steve, thanks. And voter fraud is one of the key weapons of the left. They count on it, they factor it into their expectations, and they fight for it doggedly. By what other explanation could you arrive at their opposition to making voting as secure a process as getting on a plane or renting a stupid video back when we had Blockbuster? There is no reason to oppose this. There's no reason to oppose serious voter ID requirements. The notion that a human being is unable to get an ID is preposterous on its face. There's only one reason to oppose this, and that is that you want illegal votes cast because you know for which party most of the illegal votes will be cast. All righty, 849, Mark Davis, 866-660-5759. Back in a moment. Of Howard Jones. Little Hojo, where are we going? Well, I'll tell you where we're going. We're going to Oakvilla. Hey, Terry. Mark Davis, how are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
Hey, what's up?
It's funny you mentioned Three Dog Night because that was the first concert I ever went to with my sister Karen, who you've met.
Of course.
When I, And I'm not going to tell you how old I was at the time. It was for my birthday. We went to Miami Beach Auditorium.
Whoa!
To see them. Yeah, it was great.
I mean,
we
did
thought
you...
we were really hot stuff.
Did you live in South Florida at the time?
Yes, I did. Wow. I was born and raised there.
I did not know that. Good escape. I love South Florida. Love going there. But wow, pretty crazy these days.
Yes, it's not the same now, but. Anyway, what I wanted to say about the hordes of people that are trying to break into our country right now, I really hope and pray that Trump will stand firm and send the troops down there to stop this craziness.
Yep.
And I really think that because it's so close to the midterms, I think it'll be really good for Republicans. I think it's going to propel them to go to the polls.
I think you have a spectacular point. It shows what we are fighting for. And on immigration, okay, let's take a bunch of issues. Environment, even, you know, abortion rights, taxes. We're kind of a 50-50, 55-45 kind of country. Immigration, we are 70-30 and maybe even more toward people who want strong borders and want our borders to mean something. So you're right. It's a possible home run if the president's able to do something about this caravan in the home stretch toward the election. It's like early Christmas.
Absolutely.
Terry, thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. 866-660-5759. Well, we just got 1 hour of radio to go before the weekend. Mike Gallagher stands ready to take things over at 10. So I'll tell you what, let me wrap up this hour, hop into the newsroom, and then roll out with some stuff I haven't said yet, thought yet, done yet, played yet. And you... join us on the lines at 866-660-5759. We're in the home stretch. Misty, I'm going to go to you first because she says she's received some type of misleading mail piece. There's a talk show. What's your mailbox looking like? What's your TV box looking like? Oh, the competing ads. Oh, my gosh. Tis the season. 858, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.